Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Come on. It's the best thing ever. Cash me outside. How about that? That's so good. Hey, how you doing? You doing good? You guys can be seated. Thank you so much. What a church. Let's hear it for this worship team. These guys are amazing. Every single location, just so many people serving. I'm thrilled to be here. I don't know what he's talking about. We could not wait for this weekend. He asked me, I think it was close to a year ago, we kind of started talking about this and just figuring this date out. And at the time, we were filming a special that's going to be airing on TBN around our other book, Through the Eyes of a Lion. And I was in a cabin surrounded by dead animals, literally, just these stuffed animals in the walls everywhere. We were filming this video. I think I told you this, but we were doing it. He said, we'd love to have you out in February around Valentine's Day. And I said, that's the week before my book comes out. You know, it comes out on February 21st, swipe right. And he goes, well, that's right around Valentine's Day week. Let's kind of make a weekend of it. And we were thrilled because every time Jenny and I get around Pastor David and Lisa Hughes and Victoria and Charlie and Zane and just anybody from Church by the Glades, we just walk away like better people. Blessed people, and you get to have them as your leaders every single week. Come on, are you thankful for your pastors? What a great, great joy. And just, I feel like a little bit angry. God gave all the creativity that exists in the world to him, and I get stuck just watching the podcast to see what awesome things I could be doing if I was creative. I have never preached on a trampoline. I watched him do this. I'd probably break my neck. I would. And I have an irrational fear about breaking my neck. I think about it all the time. I'm really worried about it. I always, like, if I get hurt, I always, like, imagine that my legs don't move. And I'm like, oh, gosh, okay. Like, do you ever do that in your sleep, though, where you, like, have to kick to make sure your neck's not broken in your sleep? My wife loves that. But we just love this church. We love you and the team and the whole staff, every volunteer. Come on, make some noise. People running cameras, running mixing boards and video switchers. So if I go over here, they got me. And people just say, you know, a great church is not because of a few gifted people. It's because of a ton of people all sacrificing what God put inside them to see more people reach. And that's what I love about the spirit and the tone that marks this Church by the Glades house, is that there's a relentlessness to never get over grace and to never keep it for yourself, that you would fight for more people. And that's why you're extending into Sample Road and to Fort Lauderdale downtown and to Lake Worth and bringing the gospel into the prison system so that those stranded in sin could find life and liberty through Jesus Christ. And my prayer for you is that you would never just roll up into this church and just enjoy it and not fight for that to continue to be felt by other places. And I would just say, you know, as a pastor leading a church that's multi-site, you know, we're now 8 different locations all across Montana and 1 in Salt Lake City, Utah. So if you know anybody in there, send them our way. The pressure that comes from going into more places so that more people go to heaven and less people go to hell, kind of the idea, is that every new one starts out small. Every new one starts out where it doesn't have the bells and whistles that the one that's been going for decades has and can have. It doesn't have that. And so the temptation will always be to go to something that's established, to go to something that's built, to go to something that's banging. And you would say to me, like, if I could go up to the one where you walk in and it's already just boom, lit from the beginning, the opening bell, why would you go to the one that's in your city that you have to leave to drive to come to the other one? Because it's already established. And I would say this, that only works in your head if you view it as church as something you come to receive from, not something you're there to build up and to be part of. And if your mentality is, because people tell me, like, I'm like, why do you live in Billings? Why do you drive to Bozeman? Or you live here, why would you drive there to go to this one? You know what I'm saying? And they say, well, that one's so much bigger and so much more exciting to walk into. And I would say, what about the people in that city not saved yet that could have that experience but don't, because you're not there adding your voice, adding your fight, bringing your friends, making that place have what this one has? What if there were 7 campuses all this big at Church by the Glades and you guys drove the devil out of South Florida? How you like me now? I think that's what God has in store for you, because this is too good to keep to yourself. We're going public with this. Amen? And that's my prayer for you, that you would continue to have the desire and willingness to be uncomfortable and to risk and to keep risking and to risk and to keep risking. Because the moment you stop reinvesting your miracles, you'll see the end of them. You have to keep putting it out there. Keep putting it out there. Keep putting it out there. God blesses you to be a blessing through you. Amen? Amen. Jenny and I, our four girls are here, and my wife's got our son inside of her at the moment. Four girls in a row, and then a boy. So we're really excited this summer to welcome the first Lusco boy child into the house, and we're thrilled about that. We've just been having the best weekend, and it's a real special thing that the publisher would let us bring some of the Swipe Right books here. Our church hasn't even had the chance to get them yet, so this was literally the global pre-release here at Church by the Glades, so I'll always remember that. We came through on our book tour. We did an Eyes of a Lion book tour a while back. We did like 19 cities, and it was literally my favorite. Church by the Glades was my favorite of them, because just something about this church. Y'all are crazy. The atmosphere, the excitement, the energy, the love. You guys are the best. And this room just photographs so well. It's just beautiful. And love it so much. So to be here again is a thrill. Well, that's all my time. God bless you guys. Have a great... Just kidding. I came to preach, and I'm going to preach on this topic. Swipe right. Everyone say swipe right. They say now Americans check their phones 150 times a day on average. Once every 6 minutes. Which is to say that if that study proves true, while I'm talking to you, the time that remains, you will check your phone five times. Five times. I hope not. I hope the only time you're touching your phone is to take notes and to grab a scripture. And not to check in a Pokemon stop or something like that. But I know this. I know that this is doing something to us. I don't know what it's doing, but it's doing something to us. They say that many times, and I've experienced it, people are having what they call phantom vibration sensation. This is where you'll feel your phone vibrate, but it didn't vibrate. Oh, my phone buzzed. Well, you check your phone because it vibrated. No, it didn't. Your brain is just craving the dopamine hit that comes from the like. Like me, 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 like me. And your brain craves something new. What's happening? I don't know. You're not here with the people you're with? No, I'm thinking about other people I'm not with. What are they doing? Is it better than what I'm doing? Why did I get invited to that, right? And it just we just, by default, just grab it. Watch the moment the airplane lands. What's everyone doing? No one looks at each other getting off the airplane. They could be handing out free money at the door. Be like, yeah, that's great. Have a nice day. And we do a lot of swiping on our phones, don't we? Swiping, 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 swiping. We swipe through photos. We respond to emails. We look through filters on the Snapchat. Right? You know the makeup filter? That's the first one. Just you look a lot prettier with the makeup filter. Like, ooh, I just lost 5 years of my life. Just that's swipe. First filter. I never post nothing without that first filter. Are you kidding me? Instagram video too. It just takes the bags away from your eyes. It's amazing. We swipe our way through life. Now that's reality. We're swiping our way through life. It's different than when I was a kid. It's just different. The world is so different. I mean, I remember when I was on Friday night, I'd be like, Mom and Dad, can we make it a Blockbuster night? That was Friday night. Blockbuster night. Remember that? And you'd go walk around the aisles of the store looking for a video to rent. You peruse the aisles on the hunt, on the prowl. And when you found one, you'd be like, that's the one, that's me, I choose you. And you'd grab it, but sometimes you get psyched out because there wasn't a video behind it. You know what I'm talking about? So you'd have to like find one with a video behind it and you'd go watch it. But that wasn't the end of the story, right? Because now you rent them on iTunes, on the cloud and Amazon Prime and whatever, wherever the real video is. There's probably videos flowing through my body right now. It's disturbing. But you'd have to rewind the thing before you could return it. Remember that? You'd sit there waiting, waiting, waiting. Because I'm going to get a late fee if it's not in by midnight. 11:59, you shove it in that box, that little slot, the library slot, you know? And if you didn't rewind it, you get another fee. I had a friend who had a dedicated machine that rewinded video, did nothing but rewind video slightly faster than the VCR. These are called rich people, right? What's that? Just my rewinder. Yeah. And remember when you had a tape cassette get unspooled and you had to get a pencil in that thing, right? I would call in the radio station and request a song. Could you play that song? And they would say, sure. And you'd sit there waiting with your two fingers ready. Play and record, same time. Am I preaching good on the Sunday? And when you heard your jam, you'd be like, boom! But all my mixtapes were missing like the first 10 seconds off every song. I'm like, that's not it. That's it! But now, like my kids, you know, there's just so much to do. Every device streams Netflix. Every device is connected, Wi-Fi, right? Every device is wanting you to have their little cloud service. Everything, there's so much swiping now. There wasn't that much swiping then. And life's changing. And what is it doing to us? Well, the paint's still wet. To know what even like the addition of Instagram is doing to us and the addition of all these things, it's not making us better conversationalists. That party was lit. Winky face. Pizza is bae, right? I mean, like, what are you talking about? Are you hearing yourself? It doesn't make any sense. How about that, right? He's like, I'm disturbed for us on many levels, right? Now, I'm not like one of those guys, like, we should go back to churning butter, right? That's not what I'm trying to say. Like, hey, Uber beats taxi every day. And I am eagerly waiting the day when Amazon drones will be a reality. Like, I cannot happen fast enough, right? Who's with me? But what I am saying is we should just be careful. We gotta, listen, protect your future by living carefully right now. That's what I'm saying. We gotta live carefully and make wise decisions, especially when it comes to sex, especially when it comes to romance. And since it's Valentine's Day week and we're all thinking of that, and you know, I get it, Valentine's Day can be a discouraging day to be single. You're hearing like, oh great, in church too? Everywhere I go, I'm alone, I'm single, oh yay, right? And now I gotta come in here and listen to this preacher talk about sex too. You know, here's what I would say to you, single people. I would say, while you're single, don't worry as much about playing the field. Worry more about reaching the world. That's what you should be doing during your single years. And eventually, God will bring the right person to you, also reaching the world, and you can change the world together. You want to meet a zero? Look for the club. Go to the club. You want to meet a man or woman of God? Right here in the house. That's what you want to find. Someone said, how'd you and Jenny meet? I said, serving God in the local church. Where else do you meet someone who's going to want to raise their kids in the local church? You want to marry someone whose priorities are different than yours but think you're going to make it work? Oh, he says he loves God. Do you mean he's willing to come to church so you won't break up with him? Or is he madly in love with Jesus Christ? Is this guy just hot? Because so is hell. You want a man or woman of God to do life with. Otherwise, you're going to be having this, basically the relational equivalent of Google Maps set to Mexico and Siri or Waze set to Canada. Get paid. What do? I want to do this. I want to do this. You have a weekend off. What do you want to do? I want to go to this. I want to do this. This is how the kids should be. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to teach them to love Jesus. I want to teach them to be a good person. I want to tithe. I don't, right? I want to go to church. I want to go to the beach. And every decision's going to be push-pull, unless you align yourself. How can two walk together unless they be of one accord? So that's what makes this stuff so important. All right, so none of that's my sermon. That's just bonus materials. That's deleted scenes. My message is called Swipe Right, here's kind of the heart behind it. Swipe right, you probably know, comes from Tinder. Just look at me like you're confused. No one will know, right? Wow, Tinder? Tinder, what's that? It's an app where you can facilitate an easy hookup. You're like, oh, I mean, how do you spell that? What did you learn in church? Nothing you need to know about. It's an app that allows you to find other people looking to hook up with you, and based on nothing but physical appearance and a few statements about yourself in a bio, people will choose to swipe left on your face or swipe right on your face. Swipe left on your face means I would not like that. Swipe right means me want that. I want that. I choose you, right? Swipe right on a person's face. It's completely superficial, just absolutely judging a book by its cover, right? Because it's easy to hide an ugly heart behind a beautiful face. Bulging biceps, banging car, busting at the seams bank account, but no character where it counts. Will they be a great husband? Will they be a great father? Will she be a wonderful grandma, right? The questions we should be asking before we say I do is, would I like to get old and ugly and die next to this person? That's what we should be saying. Now, they're cute, right? That we have so much in common. Yay, we both like sports, right? Well, that's not gonna do so well in an intensive care unit. That's not gonna cut it 25 years in when none of you look like you did when you were 19. No amount of this can keep that in check, right? Will I love to do life? The character, integrity, respect, charity, compassion, these things, like a fine wine, just get better with time. And above all things, someone madly in love with Jesus Christ who says, not my will be done, but thy will be done in life. That's what you want to find. But you got to swipe right, not left, right, wrong, right. Got to swipe right. We live in a left, right world, but we need to look up and swipe right. Am I preaching good at the 11:30? Four lies about sex you've probably been told. Four lies about sex that you might today believe. You need to jot these things down. They are lies from the pit of hell that culture pushes on us at every turn. It's the gym locker, it's the scrolling on the internet, it's the last movie you watch. This is the lyrics that we listen to. Here's what you've been told. You've been told, number one, sex is just a physical activity. It's a lie. Sex is just a physical activity. But isn't that kind of the message of culture? The sex is just your body. More and more millennials and younger, that's my generation and the next generation, more and more there's a de-emphasizing of anything sexual that's just anything but physical. Meaning it's not your heart, it doesn't involve your emotions, it's just your body. I read one statement. It was an interview in Rolling Stone magazine with millennials on sexuality, and they were saying, what's the big deal? It's no different than just kissing. It's just two bodies coming together. Therefore, if we can do what we need to do to stop unwanted pregnancy, and if we can do what we need to do to curtail the spread of infectious diseases, because that's like a big deal today, right? You know that 28% of Americans have herpes. You know that 40% of college co-eds, college female students, 40% have human papillomavirus, the most contagious sexually transmitted disease that often leads to throat cancer because oral sex is so much safer than regular sex, or is it because of all the throat cancer? Anyhow, so you think about, like, if we do what we need to do to stop those things from happening, no one gets pregnant, no one gets hurt, I can hook up with whoever I want to, have sex with whoever I want to, I'm young, can have a good time, like, I can do that, and it doesn't really matter because it's just physical. It's just physical, physical, right? There's a popular song when I was in middle school, high school, that went like this. You and me, baby, we ain't nothing but mammals, so let's just do it like they do on the Discovery Channel, right? And that, to me, is a refreshingly honest articulation of a secular, humanistic approach and worldview on life. If God's not involved, then you just do what you want to do. It's just a physical thing. Here's what the Bible says. It's not true. Sex is more than your body. It involves you on the deepest possible level. In fact, look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, there's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, the two become one. And here Paul is hearkening back to Genesis, when God gave us this gift called sexuality. And never forget that. God invented sex. People like had this like trip about like God is anti-sex. God just wants to ruin sex, as though it was like our idea and he's just messing it up with rules. As I read the Bible, I read in the beginning God. He was first. He chose to bring us into this party. And when he did, he then gave to us sex as a gift from him to us. You're welcome, right? I'm God, you're human. Here's sex, here's marriage, here's this gift I thought of, I cooked up, I hold the patent on. We think we know so much better. We think we know so much more. He's got the blueprints from when he designed it and stuff, right? So he gives this gift to us called sex, and with it, he told us how to use it because he knew it's not just pleasurable, it's also powerful. Pleasurable, also powerful. So what did he say when he gave it to us? This is the user manual for sex, Genesis 2:24. So short you could tweet the thing. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. What is that? That's called the marriage bed. He's like, hey, I've got this awesome gift called sex. It involves you being naked together. You're going to love it, right? But here's how to use it. Two of you coming together in the covenant of marriage with the idea being for a lifetime, you leave your parents, one man, one woman, one lifetime, the marriage bed. Within that arena, enjoy it. Within that arena, have fun. Within that arena, enjoy what I've given to you. It's pleasurable, but it's also powerful. So keep it in that arena. Keep it in the arena that I designed it to be. Enjoy it. You're going to have the best results. Women experience far more orgasms in committed marriage relationships than out on their own, twice as much, right? You're going to have a better time. You're going to have better use of it. There's going to be less heartache. Time magazine said you'll die happier, you'll die richer, and you'll have a greater sense of meaning and purpose and lower rates of depression, anxiety, stroke, heart disease, marriage. It's this beautiful thing. God gave us a gift called marriage. He said, enjoy this gift called sexuality within that relationship. He knows best. He's not against you. He's not trying to kill, harsh your mellow, kill your buzz, ruin your good time. He's for you. He's your best friend. He wants you to experience life and fullness thereof. So when we leave his plans, we choose to suffer. We choose to walk away from our best thinking we know something that he doesn't know. But what do we know? We've been alive for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. He has no birthday. He sees the end from the beginning. Father knows best. I got a friend who says, whenever God says don't, because we hate when God says don't. You could always silently finish that statement this way. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. That's how you should hear God's rules. They're there for a reason. So he gives us this beautiful gift, and it's not just physical. It's spiritual. It's invisible. It's emotional. To become one. It's some mysterious way. There's a union that happens, a mingling of souls, like gluing two pieces of paper together. There's something that happens on the inside of who you are. That's why Proverbs says, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Springing forth are issues that are going to come from what you do with your heart. So be very careful. Guard very carefully your heart. Don't just glue yourself to someone. Don't just involve yourself in a mystical union with someone you don't even know through pornography. It involves you. It will change you. It will impact you. You don't understand. Listen to me. There's not just young men, young women too. It's not just watching porn. It's reading porn. We're doing things to ourselves on an invisible level. They say that porn is as addicting as heroin. It lights up the same centers of the brain that the narcotics do, that you take it once and you're addicted for life, right? I learned this the hard way. Back when I was a kid, it was much harder, much more difficult to get your hands on this stuff than today. Remember how hard it was to smuggle a Playboy magazine that my friend lifted from his dad's garage into my house so I could hide it under my mattress? Eventually dug a hole and buried it in the backyard. Every time I dug it up, I said, that's the last time. Never digging that up again. I dug in plastic bag. It's just unbelievable. But how much I went through to be able to look at pictures of naked women as a sixth grader in middle school. Because obviously, I realized there was something awesome about that. And now, it got real simple. And I didn't have to be a sixth grader with the power and the destruction of the internet in my palm at all times. It's just we have opened Pandora's box for better or for worse. Yeah, we can stream the gospel out. Hello, Church by the Glades online webcast. Amazing. We'll cut Goliath's head off with his own sword. What the devil meant for evil, we're going to use for good. But we have to also recognize that with fire, we can not only heat up a house, we can blow up a life too. And the CDC says that regular porn users suffer higher rates of depression and have poorer physical health. We are seeing the demise of guys in our day, according to CNN, and studies done places like Harvard and Yale, where people have little letters at the end of their names. about young men doing worse in our day in almost every regard. Graduation from high school, getting into college, getting good jobs, right? Young men are not thriving, and largely to blame, studies have shown, is porn and video games. And new things called arousal addictions that never happened before. Because a substance abuse addiction, you need more of the same, more cocaine. Arousal addiction, you need more of the different. And that's why pornography never stays soft. It always gets harder, 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 darker, 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 50 shades darker, 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 darker. It's always a move from the light to darkness. It's a move towards depravity. And eventually it's not enough to see it, you gotta do it. And that you have these fetishes acting out, it just gets so gnarly. How'd you get there? One step at a time, one day at a time, one swipe at a time. Soon any of us can do what we said I never would have been willing to do. Someone said once, the seed for every sin is in every human heart. And all of us could go there. All of us, if we give ourselves, I could do in minutes. It terrifies me. I could do in minutes what I would regret for decades. And so could you. So sex is not physical. It's much more than that. There's a second thing. Jot this down. This is a lie. And this lie goes this way. I can do what I want and have what God wants. I can do what I want now, but then eventually have all that God wants for me to have then. This is the lie of sowing your wild oats while you're young. This is the lie of I'm young. I have my whole life in front of me, which is why we're so crazy when we're young. This is why we don't want to wear helmets and we don't want to buckle our seatbelts. My whole life in front of me. Yeah, it might be a very short life in front of you, right? This is why we're so crazy, because we don't realize consequences. We don't realize how serious things are, how much of a fragile vapor life is. And so we even approach that spiritually. We think, I know eventually I want to straighten up. I know eventually I want to honor God. I'll even be an usher at Church by the Glades. I'm going to do it. Or just one of these days, because right now I'm getting this all out of my system. Should I? You don't get anything out of your system by doing it. You get it into your system. And you bring it in your system into your future. Your present becomes your past. Your past has a pesky way of showing up in your future. You can bury it like I tried to the Playboy in my backyard, but like Leonardo DiCaprio, it'll claw its way out of the grave and show up in your future. I never preached that. That's good, huh? I wrote that in the book. I never preached that yet. I never preached any of this stuff. I'm fired up. I spent a year of my life locked up in hotel rooms and airplanes writing me some swipe right. The lion's about to get let out of the cage, and I'm fired up. I'm going to call a generation out to strength and honor. We're going to see Jesus make the devil pay for the things that I did when I was young that I wish I could take back. I can't take it back. I got to walk around with that. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight for you. Because prevention is better than cure. And I'm going to speak to young people about this, because they don't need to ever go down those dark roads. All right, so here's why you can't, it's foolish to say I can do what I want and then have what God wants. Because desires can keep you from your destiny. Desires can keep you from your destiny. Ask Esau, who traded his birthright for a bowl of soup. And later on regretted it, but could not take back what he had done, what he had given up. Now, I know you're probably pushing back on this. I didn't come here today expecting a rousing ovation from everyone in the house. And I know some of you are just crossing your arms, looking straight hateful and angry at me. And part of the reason is because you feel like I'm failing as a preacher. And here's how the conversation's going between me and you. Right now in your head, you're saying, whatever, I can do this, and God will forgive me later. I can do this now. God will forgive me. Levi, God will forgive me. Hey, pal, if that is your real name, you take your little skinny jeans back to Montana. Are we having fun? God, here's what you're saying, can forgive me. To which I would say, yeah, he can. Already done. Already settled. If you're in Christ, your sin doesn't even exist anymore as God sees it. God will forgive you. God has forgiven you if you're in Christ. But did no one tell you there's a difference between forgiveness and consequences? Did no one tell you? Because of course he could forgive you, but he'd much rather be blessing you and using you. What a man sows, the same he shall reap. Can a man take fire to his lap? Look at this one. Can you build a fire in your lap and not burn your pants? I don't think so. If you choose to sow wild oats, you will reap the same. You cannot just do what you want and experience what God wants. Paul put it this way. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Don't be stupid. Certainly not. If we've been forgiven, if we get the revelation that Christ hung on that cross, shedding his blood for us to die as us, then how can we then not do everything in our power to walk with him and to keep our heart set on him and to please him who gave everything for us? You're not just like, can I rack up more on your bill? Like, what? Can I get a little bit more on that cross to pay? Like, that doesn't make any possible sense. All right, there's a third lie. Maybe you today came in here believing this one. Dating and sexual temptation. I said those backwards. These are only issues before you're married. How you date, how you face sexual temptation, once you get married, that all goes away. How many of you know that's a lie, right? The forbidden fruit just moves. Before you're married, the devil will do everything he can to get you to have sex with your boyfriend, have sex with your girlfriend before you're married to him. Then you get married to him, he'll do everything he can to make sure you, whatever you do, do not have sex with that person that you just married. Isn't that hilarious? Get you anything you can to get your clothes off together. And then the moment you're married, he'll do everything he can to keep you from being alone together with your clothes off, right? Once you're married. But we think this is just going to be great. I'm going to get married. We're just going to have the best relationship, the best sex. It's going to be the best thing in the world, right? Justin Bieber singing about making love all night, partying every day. As a married person, that exhausts me to think about making love all night. I listen to Justin Bieber singing like all night, maybe for 20 minutes, but I'm going to sleep after that all night. I'm going to make love all night, whatever. You have to work to make love four times a week. It's hard. Wait, schedule it out. What about this time of summer? I don't know. It's after 9:30. I'm going to bed. I mean, I have to turn off CNN. Are you serious? Like, you have to choose to have sex when you're married because the devil's doing everything he can to stop you from coming together. Why? He knows what you need to know. The best defense is a good offense. Best way to not have sex with anyone else that you're married, other than who you're married to, is to have sex with the one you're married to. Amazing. But what you're saying to me, but Levi, what does it matter if I give in and have sex with my boyfriend if I'm going to marry them? If we're a fiance, oh, it's on. Because we're already married, therefore I'm not taking anything that doesn't belong to me. Once I get married, it was already mine. Inception. I'm technically having sex with my husband. To which I would say, oh, did you not know you're actually teaching them how you're going to handle forbidden fruit down the road? That you're telling your spouse to be how faithful you will be to them in marriage by how faithful you are with them before marriage. You're saying, here's how I respond to God's authority. Here's how I respond to when God says, don't do. Don't hurt yourself, remember? Don't do. You're, these are so important. And as far as the dating thing, that should not go away either. Dating should be an issue when you're married, not just before you're married. You gotta date your mate or the devil will find someone who will. You wanna know how you spell a good marriage? Here's how you spell a good marriage. W-O-R-K. Work, 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 Rihanna said. You gotta work it. If it's not working, your marriage, probably because you aren't. Gentlemen, I got a question for you. If you applied yourself at work with the effort and time commitment you apply yourself at home, would you have a job? Are you investing in your marriage? Girls, are you dressing up just for your husband, not just going out with your friends? Are you applying yourself? Are you trying to win their heart? Or do you just get married and set it in cruise control and expect not to drift? It won't work if you won't. You'll enjoy it to the level of your exertion. Give God something to bless. Pour it out. Give your effort. Look him in the eye. Put the phone down. Get there. Get out to dinner. Talk to each other. Walk through a field. I don't know. Do something. It's good for your soul. Is this helping anybody? All right, I got one last thing. One last thing, and then we're done. Here's the last lie. I already messed up, preacher, so there's no hope for me. lie from the pit of hell. Because just as Jesus Christ rose up out of that grave on the third day, God can rise you up out of the decisions that you've made. No, the consequences might not go away, but even the ones that remain, he'll use for his glory. He'll bring newness to your story. There's compassions that don't fail. There's mercies that are new every morning. God wants to write a new story in your life, but you got to honor him. You got to say, today's the day, and now's the time. From this day forward, I'm going to fight for my future. I'm going to protect it by living carefully right now, and my kids are going to grow up in a different home environment than I did. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to fight for honor. I'm going to inherit all that God has for me. And Father, I pray that blessing over all these people. Give them strength. Open their eyes to see, to not walk in condemnation, because your righteousness is not something that's based on us, but it's something that gets placed on us because of your Son, Jesus. So help us by your Spirit to make wise choices from this day forward. We pray this in your name and all God's people.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.